You are listening to This Is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to This Is Stockton. I'm your host, Wes Ray.
And I'm your host, Amy Albers. So this is something that I mean to do at the beginning of every single podcast, and I haven't done it in a long time. I always end up doing it at the end. So this is a friendly reminder to please like, subscribe, and share this podcast. If you could rate and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, it would mean so much to us. It helps us boost in our search engine ratings. It helps us get in front of the people who we want to be hearing these episodes and sharing these stories with. So it's very simple to do. There's a pinned story on our Instagram about how to go about leaving a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. So check out at This Is Stockton Podcast and make it happen for us. We will be forever grateful.
And that is a great reminder, Amy, in all of your echoness, it really kind of reinforced the...
I wondered how long it was going to take before you mentioned.
Well, I think when you said that last part, you said it extra loud. And if for those listeners who don't know, we're in new offices now, and we do have, I guess, 20-foot ceilings.
Oh, yeah, 20-foot ceilings.
And so we are all in these new echo chambers. So we're working on the soundproofing stuff, but... if you could only see Amy under her little, I don't even know what to say, her soundproofing tent.
It's a personal fort.
Yes.
We'll post a picture.
Fort. Yes,
Anthony
yes.
already told me you got a screenshot of it, but yeah, does it sound echoey or do I sound better?
No, you sound echoey. Oh. Well, Producer Adam says you sound
Producer
better.
Producer Adam says I sound better. He just wants me to stay in my chamber.
So I am excited about today's guest who does not have an echo because he doesn't look like he's in his podcast recording studio. But anyway, I'm excited about having Maddie on the podcast. I've known Maddie a long time and since our way, way back days at the Huddle. Actually, one of the things that is not on our conversation today is Maddie has a long history with him and his family in Polynesian dancing. And unfortunately, it's not a video podcast because we could do a demonstration. But a little known fact about Maddie is that him and his whole family is into Polynesian dancing and do competitions and all kinds of stuff. Did you know that, Amy?
I knew that because you've told me that before. Oh. But it's pretty awesome.
Yes.
Because we talked about it and we were like, dang, we should have them perform at Flavor Fest.
Yes.
So, Maddie, you heard it here first. You'll be getting hit up.
Okay. Just let me know.
So, with that, joining us today is Maddie Amon. He is the owner and community manager of Huddle, which is a co-working space in downtown Stockton. And before we get into the main portion of today's episode, Maddie, can you tell us a bit about your Stockton story?
All right. Okay. Well, first off, thank you for inviting me and having
me.
You're
so welcome.
I think what you guys are doing here is beautiful, especially because of the platform you guys have and just learning recently about, what your intention is in terms of marketing the city and who you're marketing to. I think that's extremely important. But my Stockton story, oh man, when I was five, no, I'm just kidding. I don't know where to start exactly, but I'll touch on my family and what kind of led me and made me the person I became in order to do the downtown work I've been doing for the past 7+ years for about, ever since I was a child. I was involved in the Polynesian culture with an emphasis of Tahitian dance. It was a positive outlet for my family and I during a time in Stockton where there's a lot of big things happening in the streets, and it was family oriented. We were learning culture. We were traveling all over California and beyond just to perpetuate this culture. And we kind of learned around 2010, around that we were kind of good. We were getting the attention from folks all over the world. And we were competing and winning and being invited everywhere and just to teach workshops and judge competitions. And it was an honor to kind of travel around the world and represent Stockton at the same time. We were just kind of doing our thing to represent who we were as a family first, but then being a family from Stockton and being a family from Stockton with an African-American background and a Filipino-American background, in which the Filipino-American background just happened to be connected to the Filipino roots of Filipino American history within Iloilo, Manila. So there's a lot of layers to my family history, and which kind of prepared me for who I was later going to become in 2016 when I got offered the position to run Huddle. And before I got that position, I didn't know what a co-working space was. There was a development company that was revitalizing or attempting to revitalize downtown Stockton at the time. And we met at a bowling alley. You know, we just had a cool conversation.
Yeah.
I wasn't working at the time. I was in between jobs. I was like taking off my Polynesian dance hat because I had had a beautiful career in that. And I just jumped without a net. And I remember my first day being at Huddle. It was the day that Bernie Sanders came to Stockton. And I told them, I'm like, I'm going to be late because I have to go see Bernie Sanders, you know, and see what he has to say because he came all the way to Stockton. And I just remember, you know, heading to the office for the first time and looking around while all these blank walls and all these empty offices at Huddle 1.0. And just was like, all right, let's just see what we can do with this, you know. And one of the first projects I started was with an old friend of mine who used to work at Trail, when Trail and Huddle used to share a hallway bathroom. And he was a photographer. And I was like, there's a lot of beauty that downtown possesses. What better way to capture that beauty by leveraging the photographers in our area? So myself, along with three other guys, we started a photo project called Golden Hour Project. And it's kind of spread like wildfire because all of these creative photographers came out of the woodworks to capture downtown in a way it hadn't been captured before. And it inspired the creative community to come outside, you know. And between the years 2016 and 2018, I was involved in a lot of cool projects, from the Seed Mural Project that bought three huge murals to downtown Stockton, worked with Street Art Anarchy to basically do like a kind of guerrilla mentality, let's not ask for permission, let's just do it, you know. Got a lot of backlash.
That's a very Stockton take. It's a very Stockton take to kind of just try it out just and see it. What happens.
Like the Stockton Arts Commission or anything like that. I was just like, okay, I'm not asking for permission. Let's just do it. And I dare someone to come and paint over them, you know, because they're going to be so beautiful.
Right.
And then I've thrown a couple of art shows. I've thrown Sycamore Social Club, highlighting local artists like Brendan Jeffrey. The erotic art show was called EASE, which was an acronym for Erotic Art and Sound Exhibition. And we had 17 artists come out, and I did it underground style and got people excited about this thing and didn't give the address to the warehouse downtown until the day of. And there was like 500 plus people that showed up, and the profits that we made, we donated it to the Pride Center. It was like $1,000, but still it was like something. So that was really cool to do. And then got to be one of the first ones to, in the midst of all that, got to be one of the first ones to give Hatch Workshop a tour of downtown Stockton. Jared Rustin, a furniture maker, an amazing furniture maker who bought a warehouse in downtown Stockton, invited into Stockton and just to look around. And I got to get them all excited. And when you think about what Hatch is doing today and was such a pillar in the community they are, and how deep their roots are, I'm like the proud older brother, and just being able to say like, that's awesome that they're like I was able to be a part of the origin story to that. And in the midst of all of that, I'm running this co-working space, you know, and I'm launching entrepreneurial workshops and cohorts and partnering up with all the chambers and the city and the county through CDBG funding and stuff. So it's, I kind of have my hands in a lot of pots, you know.
You're
and
big Stockton guy, big downtown.
Yeah,
Stockton
and it's not like I go out seeking these opportunities. They kind of just like gravitate towards me and they fall on my lap, and then I realize I have the power to say yes or no to these things. And usually it's a yes until it feels like a no. And that's actually some advice that I got from David Garcia, who was one of the founders of Huddle back in the day, along with Tim Egan, who's no longer with us, but his spirit is still alive in all of the work that we're all doing here in the community. But we fast forward to to today, you know, now my main focus is just is Huddle and making it the best that it can be in this post-COVID era. Just being able to survive COVID was like a feat in itself. Sacrificed a lot. I sacrificed my own salary to make sure I can keep the lights on during COVID. And we were super grateful for all the nonprofits who chose to be a part of Huddle, you know, because they're the ones that helped us through. I believe I know COVID was kind of a filtration system, you know, for our community in terms of whoever was doing things not from the right place, you know, they're no longer operating anymore. And the ones who are still standing are the ones that Stockton actually believes in and wants, you know, wants to support energetically. So now it's just focusing on creating a safe space and an inclusive space for folks who are not only in the entrepreneurial community, but in the nonprofit sector, in the health wellness sector, in the BIPWG, which I'm learning to be part of my lexicon, instead of BIPOC, which usually stands for Black Indigenous People of Color, I'm switching it to Black Indigenous People of the Global Majority, you know, because people of the global, when you say it like that, you're not centering whiteness around it and stuff. So that community and just making sure that that Huddle is a direct reflection of our community at large. And when people do come in, they don't feel like we're trying to be like someone else or another city or anything like that. So I take a lot of pride when people come in and they're like, okay, this doesn't feel like Stockton, but like, or the Stockton that I'm used to, but I see that this is a representation of who we are as a people. And one of my favorite things I get to tell folks is, hey, now that you know this exists, go out, share it with the world. It's like the best kind of marketing, like grassroots, like people to people marketing. And it's pretty successful. You know, people from all around come in and are told that they have to come here, come to Huddle because they wanted to learn about Stockton or be pointed in a certain direction. So that's kind of where we're at right now, is positioning Huddle to be a wayfinder for all things entrepreneurial, chambers, nonprofits, community events, queer, people of color, like all of that jazz. So my main responsibility now is taking in as much information as possible. So when people do come in and ask a certain question, I'm going to be able to give them an answer or know where to find it in order to point people in the right direction.
Well, we love to see that, because that is a big part of Visit Stockton's mission, obviously, is to try to get people in the direction of things they are looking for. But we land more on the visitation side. So it's nice to know that beyond a traditional chamber, that a space like Huddle is able to kind of like a navigation center, you're able to get people who are in need of those services into the right directions and have some, you know, background for them and whatnot. So that's very cool.
You know, I just think for our listeners too, just to back up a little bit, how would you describe to a layperson even what a co-working space is? Like, I think if you're in the entrepreneurial area or maybe the economic development or chamber world, you may understand a co-working space. And I know they're becoming more popular, but maybe talk a little bit about what it is just for the layperson, and also kind of the evolution of what Huddle has been through different buildings and different, you know, funding sources and all of that.
Yeah. Man, it's so funny when anyone asks that, I don't realize like how loaded that question is, because it's so many different things. You know, it can be anything to anyone in our community. It's a place for small businesses to rent out a space to be able to operate out of. It's a space for remote workers to have a space to work outside of their home. It's a space for people to collaborate and meet with different organizations. It's a space for people to have events and invite other people from the community to see what they're doing or to do intentional collisions in that capacity. It's a space for people to record your podcast. It's a space to do photo shoots. Ultimately, it's a space that is for the community to use however they see fit. We are essentially a community-based organization, a CBO. And whenever someone comes in and they ask what the space is, I tell them it's a co-working space. And then, of course, the next question is, what's a co-working space? My kind of general answer is just, it's a space for small business and entrepreneurs and nonprofits to come and utilize how they see fit. So that's the short answer. And we are supported by the city of Stockton, by the CDBG grants, the grant funding that's available for entrepreneurs. We've partnered up with them for the past several years to do Entrepreneur Lab, which is an accelerator program for small businesses. We haven't done it since in this post-COVID era, but we have positioned ourselves to partner up with community organizations like iHub2 that is creating a space for all of the chambers and other incubators in the area, getting them some funding for capacity building to be able to assist the small businesses within within their cohorts, which is an amazing opportunity to be able to work with like people out in Spanos and kind of bridge that gap between downtown and all of these incubators in the community. But yeah, I mean, as far as like funding sources, like it's very DIY, self-sustainable. The monies we come in, keep the lights on, finally get a position to where I can pay myself a little change, you know? And
because it is a fee-based system, right? Like you don't just come in, you're not so grant funded that anybody wants to use it. It's free, right? Okay, it's memberships. Okay, mm-hmm. So then like...
Well, that's the goal. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, so it's membership-based.
Necessarily free to use for anybody. Even mm-hmm. though you're funded, because again, that helps your overhead and you know, paying staff, but there is sort of a fee membership based schedule for people to utilize the facility then.
Yeah, 100%. So the ultimate goal is to be able to secure enough funding so that we can provide the space for free, like on a case by case basis, you know?
Cool.
So we have that's part of the goals for the future for Huddle, but currently it is membership based. We have a bunch of different tiers. People can walk in and utilize the space for $35 a day and we don't kick them out or anything like that. And then we have mailbox memberships. So small businesses are able to utilize our physical address as their business address. So that's how we partnered up with the city of Stockton and the permitting department over the past couple of years, because we were a unicorn for a really long time. And now the permit center can see our address like, oh, you're part of Huddle. And because part of the stipulation of starting a small business in Stockton is you can't have your home address as your business address. Mm. And so we've kind of, we've been a solution to that problem. And not only are you being able to utilize our address as your business address, but you're actually part of a space where you're surrounded by like-minded individuals who are in the trenches with you. So on any given day, you can run into someone who you might be a solution to a problem you're having with your small business. From there, we have co-working memberships. So we have regular members who pay us about $250 a month to be able to utilize the space anytime they want to during business hours. And then there's additional fees to get 24-hour access to the space. And then we also have private desk offices where it's a shared desk office. So people can pay us $450 a month for their own personal desk. They can bring in photos of the family, you know, refrigerators, filing cabinets, all that, the monitors, all that jazz. And regardless of how busy the space is, they always have their dedicated desk in a shared office. So it's locked up and safe. And then we have our private offices from small all the way up to extra large, ranging from 130 square feet all the way to 400 square feet. All have great lighting, all like historic molding and fixturing and stuff. We present each office to a prospective member, super like blank canvas. And I encourage folks to bring whatever aesthetic that they have to the space, because it adds to the overall aesthetic of the floor and the entire co-working space as a whole. And that ranges from $700 all the way up to $2,000 a month on a year commitment on that. And then the reason why like we were able to do this, you know, because we had a bunch of like real estate agents and all that jazz banging on our doors when we first started. And the reason why we're able to do this, because we are membership based. We're not leasing offices. These are members who just happen to rent a space from us, you know, so that's how we're able to kind of maneuver through all of the legality channels, if you will. But besides that, people could rent the space for events for $150 an hour. They can use our second floor space. They can use our ground floor space, which used to be the old Channel Brew back in the day. People can also rent our podcast studio, which is $40 an hour. They can also rent out our photo studio. That's $40 an hour during business hours, and then $60 an hour on the evenings and weekends.
Where do you have the concerts, Maddie? Where I've seen
on the first floor. Yeah, on the first floor, and the little that is a vent space to the right that's facing Weber Avenue. And it's hardwood floors. There's a cool little stage in there. I put up all these vintage lights up there that I found at thrift stores and yard sales and stuff. We have art shows in there. I think Zepps, Orlando Molina, Rhinosaurus Rex, he just had a cool event there on Friday evening called Rhinosaurus Flex, where, and it was a family-oriented environment. They had MCs come out and they had like breakers there. They had live arts. They had vendors there and it was free to the public, you know?
He's awesome.
And yeah, he's totally awesome. And to be part of his story too, like it's an honor, you know, when he first came from Brooklyn, one of his first stops was Huddle. And this was back in 2017 and he didn't know anybody. And I'm just like, oh, what are you trying to do? And then I pointed him in the right direction. So for him to be able to have an event that he did on Saturday was a completion of a full circle of him building roots here in Stockton. And I'm just like, so he came home, you know, he came home to where he started, so to speak. But yeah, so it's a membership base. That's where we get our revenue from, you know, and it just keeps the lights on. And I'm able to get paid a little bit of change to do that finally, because I wasn't getting paid for a really long time, you know, and had to get creative with that. But I'm super proud to be able to say like Huddle is self-sustainable. And we've gotten this far without like a huge like influx of capital or investing or anything like that. And Huddle has been through so many different like ownerships and it really didn't have our best interest at heart. So I'm proud to say as of June of 2022, me and my business partner, Eric, who's been in the trenches with me since the very beginning, and a lot of people know who he is because he's my ops guy and not really a outside kind of guy. We are the official owners of Huddle, you know, so now it's locally owned. Thank you so much. It's locally owned and operated now. And we have a great relationship with the building owner. The only thing that's unfortunate about that is that the building owner lives in Idaho. And this is the building is their only satellite property. So our next big venture is securing, this would be the first time we're actually like intentionally securing capital for the from the place of Huddle, because we're trying to own the building and just making sure that we're contributing to the narrative of community land ownership and what that can potentially look like for the rest of our community by being an example of just creating the rubric and the steps it takes in order to get to that point. So once we're able to own the building, then that's when I'm finally going to hang my hat and say, let me take a break. Let me take a little break. It's been quite a ride. So,
We don't want you to take a break,
man. Oh, man, my body's telling me I need to take a break.
Those damn bodies, man.
Yeah. So that's kind of, hopefully you can follow me on that, but it's so much and I'm so passionate about it, you know, and I love this man,
about what he does.
Yeah. I'm not doing this for the money. Cause if I was doing this for the money, I would have quit a long time ago, you know, but my payment is the connections I get to make and seeing people flourish and collab and contribute to building community and creating space, safe spaces for other folks in our community, you know, and then when people come back and be like, Maddie, like, you gave me the suggestion like 3 years ago and I followed it, you know, now look what we're doing. And I'm just like, that's payment. My cup is full. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. So yeah, but I'm going to keep on doing all of this until I can't do it anymore.
So for some of you who don't know Maddie personally, like this isn't smoke and mirrors either. Like this man is so passionate about this community and making something intentional and like you said, like an accepting space and just a shared space for people. So I moved back to Stockton after a 14-year hiatus from Idaho. And one of the first follow requests I got on Instagram was from Maddie. And I was like, I'm not sure who this guy is, but he must have saw like a press release about me that I was coming back to town or whatever. And everything he does, it's like, oh, hey, welcome back. Like, we're so glad to have you here. And it's just, that's his attitude about everything. So we're very appreciative of that. And it was awesome for me too, because I saw all the people you were following and the projects you were working on. I was like, oh, this is like a guy I should know. So, and here we are 2 years later, podcasting. So there you go. So Maddie, I had a follow-up kind of question to this for you. Yeah, exactly. Why do you think it's important to have this space downtown specifically?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so from like a business perspective, you know, like, I mean, business 101, location, 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 right? So I didn't think about this the early years of running Huddle, and it's been probably maybe the past 2 years where I like changed my perspective in terms of our location and why it's so important. When you think of any city, right, and you ask somebody, okay, where do you think the heart of the city is? Everyone's going to say, oh, downtown, right? And so with that being said, I think about, okay, so where do we fall in downtown, right? We're on the corner of San Joaquin and Weber, which is considered the center of downtown. And so when I changed my perspective of, oh, dang, Huddle is the center of the heart of Stockton, that changed my perspective just from an energetic perspective and not an entrepreneurial business perspective. I was like, all right, so we have a responsibility to be aware of the energy that we are creating in this space, because the energy that we create in this space can potentially reverberate out into the rest of this body called Stockton, because it's the center of it, right? And so that's kind of been my spiel the past year or two when people ask, like, why does this space feel this way? Why does this space feel special? I was like, because it's at the center of the heart of Stockton. Like, we are intentionally creating love and light and positivity in this space, and with the hopes of it inspiring the rest of our surrounding community, which is downtown and beyond. And so that's kind of why I think it's so important for the work that we're doing in downtown Stockton, because we can look to our left and to our right and see great people doing some great things. I mean, we got Cast Iron, you know, at the bottom of us. We have, you know, Hatch down the road. We have Courthouse Plaza down the street. We have the Fed around the corner. We have Dry Cleaners on Minor. Like, we have all of these great organizations, these great human beings doing great work in the community. So we can't help but be in this like silo of goodness and love and positivity and hard work and inspiration. And that's why I love being down here. That's why I love, and that's why I think the work that we're doing here in downtown is so important, is because it's the center of our city. It's the heart of our city, you know? And are there parts of our city that have ailments and a little bit of sickness and stuff? Yeah. Cool. Yeah, it's a given, you know, but we're going to continue to do the work that we need to do in order for the heart of our city to pump like clean blood, you know, clean vibes and stuff. So would this work in any part of the city? Probably not, you know, and there's something about downtown and its history and, you know, it's centralized. Everyone knows or has a connection or knows a story of downtown, and people have their preconceived notions of what it used to be and are starting to take notice of the momentum that's happening here. And I'm just truly honored to kind of be at the center of it all, you know, and to be able to do a full 180 and see all the beauty that's happening here in these couple of square blocks of downtown Stockton, and how we're slowly but surely positioning our area to be a destination area for the rest of the city. And there's 300,000 plus people here, you know, and there's so many different sectors people can go to live a life that they probably, you know, see on TV or anything like that. But I know for a fact, whenever someone comes down to downtown Stockton, they're getting a very unique experience that's very authentic to who we are as a community. And I know people leave inspired, you know, and I'm truly honored to be able to do this work with so many great human beings. And I just hope we're building a strong enough foundation so that we can like pass that proverbial torch off to the next generation for the sake of sustainability, you know, and making sure that all the work that we're doing right now isn't in vain. I look forward to being an 80-year-old, you know, hipster at Cast Iron, you know, being able to sit back and like, I remember when we were doing this back in 2015.
The erotic art show. I was there.
Yeah, we did all this. I was there the first one, you know, so that's one of the reasons why I do a lot of the things, is to be able to be in my golden years and being able to look back with pride and enjoy it, you know, and to just realize like, dude, we've always had the potential to turn into this type of community in the city. It just took a little bit of a change in perspective and some internal healing, you know, in order for us to be able to realize our own potential. And yeah,
I love it.
So just a quick pivot, because I want to talk about this too, Matt. You are part of the LGBTQ plus queer community here in Stockton. And we just celebrated Pride Month, which in Stockton, you know, I've always found this to be a very accepting community. But we had a lot of interesting conversations in Stockton this past month around Pride celebrations. As you know, Visit Stockton's always been a big supporter of the queer community. Mm-hmm. But I kind of wanted to get your kind of insight on the queer being queer in Stockton, but also we have the Pride celebration, which I think is phenomenal in the fall. But Pride Month was a great month to celebrate. And so just wanted to kind of get your insight into being, you know, gay in Stockton. What is that vibe like? Cause I feel like we're an accepting community, but I question that a little bit this month.
Mm-hmm. Man, it has been an interesting month. You know, the conversations I've been having with other members of the queer community. Like, I'm not even talking about like people who identify as heterosexual, you know, about like some of the queer issues that are happening within our own community.
And the country, honestly.
And the country.
We're not unique, I don't think. It's just not what I expected, I guess.
Yeah, me either. I was pleasantly surprised to be able, to learn that there were so many people who just didn't know and genuinely wanted to learn. You know, but the fact that most of these folks are within the queer community already, I thought it was just like a given, like, oh, like, you know what non-binary means. Oh, you know what gender non-conforming means. You know what trans means, you know, and that's not necessarily the case. My take on all of the pivotal moments, the poignant moments that have been happening this month in our community, it has taught me a lot about the silo that I find myself in, you know. We went to the council meeting about the We Are Family drag show that's happening at Pixie Woods. And I went there coming from a place of love, my little progressive flag and all that jazz. And I remember going into the chambers of City Hall and just seeing all the dirty looks. And I'm like, whoa, like the Stockton's proverbial like ugliness is peeking his head out right now, you know? And I was just like, which just kind of motivated me to realize that, okay, the work still needs to be done, you know? Mm. And from a queer community standpoint, I know that life is inviting our own queer community to show grace to a facet of our community as much as we've always wanted society to create a safe space for us. There are so many folks within the queer community who don't understand like the trans, just the term trans or non-binary and gender non-conforming. And I've learned a lot of folks within the queer community other and shun these people. I'm just like, wait. That's not who we are, you know? And with that being said, and coupling that with Stockton being the most diverse city in America, from a Stockton standpoint and a diversity standpoint, life is inviting us to realize what that word actually means. Mm-hmm. You know, diversity doesn't just mean your ethnic origin or your cultural background. It's if are we diverse because of our queer community, our able-bodied and non-able-bodied community, you know, and our disabled community, all of that jazz, right? And being known as that throughout the U.S., there's a responsibility that comes along with that. So with the queer community, we have an opportunity to set that standard for what it means to be diverse and inclusive. But it has to start with us because we've led the way for so long. But some of the conversations I've been having with folks these past couple of weeks is people will say, well, why can't we just all be one? Why can't we all just come together? I was like, okay. That's great in theory. I go, but we have to identify everyone first before we can realize that we are all one. We can't just be one with the silo in which we're used to and be like, oh, you're different and new, you're not allowed. You know, so we have to identify everyone first in order for us to all come together as one, as a queer community, And then from there, be the example for the rest of the city of what it truly means to be diverse. And then once the rest of the city realizes what it means and take our lead as a queer community, then we can truly know why we are labeled the most diverse city in America.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of my take on that. Yeah.
Because, you know, you do hear a lot of conversations about, oh, you know, Stockton's a melting pot. And I think what people forget is while we can appreciate the diversity, we don't want to be a melting pot per se. We want to celebrate the uniqueness yes. of each of us yeah. and not the fact we're not all the same. Mm-hmm. First of all, if we were, you know, the reality is, and I think if we try to say we're all the same, then first of all, we're not obviously, mm-hmm. but it throws some whiteness into it for some reason. But the reality is yeah. we're actually whiteness is becoming a minority, and the yeah. melting pot conversation is, it's so weird to me that we're still trying to make us all the same. I heard some of the mm-hmm. conversations the board of supervisors were like, we have one flag that represents us all, and that's mm. the only flag we should fly. And it's like, mm. we've got to celebrate our uniqueness to figure out how we have conversations about yeah. our differences.
You know what I can't wait to happen? Because you look at like the plethora of flags around the world.
Yeah.
What's that? I would love a flag that just represents humans.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Like the human flag. You know, not a nation, not a like a silo community, you know, but what would a human flag look like in the whole like galaxy, and where it is the Olympics of the galaxy, you know, and we're representing humans, you know, what would that human flag look like, yeah. you know, and we won't all become one. Once we identify everyone and allow people to their uniqueness and stuff, that common thread of all of that is humanity.
Yeah. 100%.
You know, it's human. So it'd be dope for someone to come up with a human flag. You know, it'd be great if Stockton was the one that came up with that, you know, and put that out there into the world, into the universe, you know, and get local state and
totally
federal.
Sure, we could come to a consensus because that's what this country's so good at.
Yeah. But it has to start somewhere, you know, and why not Stockton? You know, I bring it back to the prior administration, you know, and when that administration started, it was the same time Mayor Tubbs was in office. Right. And so there was a lot of people celebrating locally, but internationally, like, everyone was kind of down in the dumps and stuff, you know, from my perspective. Yeah. And I kind of took it as the rest of the country felt like how Stockton, how we felt about ourselves, you know, for a really long time. And in that, people would come to huddle and be like, how do you feel about all of this? Like, how are you so positive? I was like, because we won at a local level, you yeah. know? And I know, like, you know, halfway through this administration, people are going to be looking to Stockton to see, like, okay, who's surviving in this? Like, who's thriving? And Stockton was one of those spaces that was thriving during that previous administration. And I think we continue to be a beacon of hope in that capacity. And with the responsibility attached to being the most diverse city in America, you know, we potentially have the platform to come up with a human flag, because we would be like the poster child for diversity. But I believe, and I know it starts with the queer community, you know, because we've had to overcome so much diversity over the past couple of decades. Which kind of reminds me of a film that I watched the other day about the first film about AIDS ever. It was filmed in 1984, and it was before Reagan even said the word out loud, and it was geared towards other queer people, you know. And I was just like, for the fact that this movie was made and it was geared towards the actual queer community and queer language just lets us know the power of our community. You know, and it is different. It is kind of, it's colorful and stuff, you know, so it could be fearful to a lot of folks. But just once people kind of grasp like what we're actually trying to do, you know, in terms of inclusivity and humanity and coming from a place of love, that's when the domino effect of just loving the epitome of actually loving our neighbor will actually come into effect.
I love it. Well, speaking of love, Maddie, we know that personally one of your goals is to inspire Stocktonians to fall back in love with their city. How are you trying to do that? Like, what is your mission behind that?
Oh, man. Okay. This is really personal to me, you know, because when I think about community, our community and its progression, you know, I think about someone who's trying to have a serious relationship with that, but they haven't done like the internal work to like heal from their internalized drama, like their PTSD and their generational trauma, right? I believe and know that our community has PTSD, you know, from being called the most miserable city in America, you know, being the epicenter of the housing crisis in 08, being the highest crime rate in the nation, you know, and just that negative stigma, you know, and truly being in the mud and being stuck in the mud, you know, and now that we are kind of realizing our potential, you know, and realizing like what we can become and how talented we are, how creative we are, how like just how beautiful we are, you know, just aesthetically and as a people. I believe it's the perfect time for us to kind of start with ourselves. Mm-hmm. Start with ourselves in terms of doing the work to heal. I finally started doing my internal work about 2 years ago and realized I was grappling with a lot of things, you know, from my internal shame, my internalized homophobia, you know, I was going through all these things too. And it wasn't until I did all the hard work to heal from my generational trauma and stuff that, so imagine my love for Stockton already, you know, coupled with finally self-love, you know, that's where it took off. So my ultimate goal is for the rest of our community and the rest of our city to love Stockton just as much as I can. But realistically, no one can get to the point where I am right now in terms of how I see the city until we rustle up the courage to do the work on ourselves. Because once you do the work on yourself and you heal, you'll get spoiled on how life is reflecting back at you. And you want to inspire other people to heal as well. And you want to be a part of a community that is just as healed. And I've learned that once one heals from all of that, they end up loving their environment, and their environment just happens to be their community. And they want to spread that like wildfire as much as possible. So the more we do the work on ourselves, the more life will reflect back at us how beautiful and how healed we are inside. So I can imagine like Stockton being super healed, and we can go to Flavor Fest, you know, and be able to be here and be surrounded by other folks from our community who've been doing the work, that love this city so much that they're wanting to be civically engaged. Mm-hmm. And once that civic engagement happens, that's when we are on the fast track to Stockton becoming the city that we all know it can be. But if there's no billboard, there's no event, there's no resource, you know, that says like, okay, this is how you can love Stockton more, that could compare to finding the courage to do the work internally. And I've seen it. I'm seeing it in real time, you know, when I'm doing these cool things, either at the Catalyst or in downtown or on the Miracle Mile and or Lincoln Center. And these folks who are part of these healing communities are the ones who are spearheading a lot of these dope projects within our community.
Totally.
And it's baby steps, you know, but I know how to play the long game, you know, and I want to make sure that we're focusing on the healing of our community first, because I've seen in real time that that's what leads to folks actually loving Stockton and wanting to get more involved and wanting to share and wanting to be more inclusive and all that jazz.
I think something I noticed even when I came back to town was some friends that I have, how unwilling they were to take a chance on doing something in Stockton. And I think having spent so much time away and being in a the community I was in before I returned, like how active people were in the community and how much pride they took, like to be like on the board for, say, like the Arts Commission for the city of Boise. It was like this gigantic honor that people were fighting to be a part of and just like so willing to like donate their time to. And then coming back at first, and like I was saying, engaging with these, some of these old friend groups who were just like, no, we don't want to go do that. Or just having, feeding into that attitude of like, it's not for me, it's not for me. And I would just challenge anyone to like, just take the chance and go. Like my family makes fun of me for saying this all the time, but like the personalities of Stockton are so big and people are so chatty and want to engage. Like I've never felt excluded from any event or happening that I have gone to because people like can just tell like, oh, you're new, I'm going to talk to you. And I know I personally have that same, I think that's a Stockton thing because I had it as a child and I still have it as an adult. And I've had that same, whatever it is, everywhere I've gone. And I think people just have to be willing to just like take the chance to get out there because like you mentioned, that civic engagement is so, 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 so important. Like we are only as great as our, you know, we're the ones who are going to fuel all that energy. And so I don't know. We just got to try. You just have to try. Be uncomfortable for 2 hours and go to something you haven't been to before. Like what's the worst that's going to happen? You make a friend at it. Like, give me a break. So
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. When there's, I've met a lot of people who have chosen to be Stocktonians, you know, and the congruent thread between why they came to Stockton and stayed wasn't because of the skyline or like the recreation or anything like that.
Totally.
They always say it's the people, you know, because we've gone through so much as a community, we can't help but be our authentic selves 100% of the time, you know? So when you meet people here from our city, we're not trying to paint a picture or put on a mask and say things that we think other people want to hear. You know, I'm just like, we have no reason to hide. Like we've gone through the worst. We know what it feels like to be at the bottom, you know? So there's no need to be fake. It's so much easier being the real version of ourselves than to fake somebody else, you know? And I think that's a positive residual effect of all of the stuff that I listed before that Stockton's been known for. So now that we're on this upward momentum and realizing our potential and acting accordingly, you know, we're doing it because like it's making us happy and we're acting from a place of joy, you know, and we're acting from love. And that's something anyone can relate to and can relate and can communicate with regardless of what language you're speaking. People can feel it energetically, you know, like, man, like you're authentic. You're not BSing me, you know, and I like that. You know, and it's inspiring me to be the same. I can fully show up as who I am, and I wasn't be able to do this back home, you know? So that coupled with, you know, the Stockton pride that happens from folks who were born and raised here, you know, coupled with like the folks who choose to be Stocktonians, that's a beautiful juxtaposition of people within our community, you know? And that's what those are the type of people that I've chosen to surround myself with. And that's how life reflects back at me on a daily basis. Like every single day I get to hang out with dope individuals.
That's awesome. Well, we've covered a lot today. But we always ask each guest one final question. And so this is your surprise. You're not prepared for a question. Maddie, you're here in Stockton. You have friends from out of town. They come visit you. You're going to take them somewhere in Stockton that is not the Huddle. Where do you take guests from out of town?
I take them to my favorite Mexican food restaurant in downtown Stockton called Xochimilco's.
Yes.
Xochimilco's is I've been going there since I was a child, you know, and it's the same, it's family owned and operated. Everything's fresh tortillas. Like it's hearty. You're going to leave full, you know, it's hole in the wall vibes. It's in the center of downtown, you know, so after we would just go for a walk and just inspire folks to look up. And I would intentionally like pick a time to where we can eat. So then like when we go for a walk after, it's like during sunset. And then hopefully there's like a beautiful sunset, you know, and then from there.
We have some beautiful sunsets.
We do because of our distance from the coast, you know.
It's amazing.
And people from San Diego sometimes are like, dude, like, the sunsets don't look like this down south. I'm just like, it's all about that northern. But then because I have access to a lot of roofs here in downtown Stockton, I would take them like secretly. I was like, hey, you want to go on an adventure? And then I would like take them up to the roof and be like, look at this, you know? And then I'll be like, welcome to Stockton. They're like, dude, this is dope. And I only know that because I've done that before. You know, and when people are like, what should I do in Stockton? I'm like, right, let me take you out, you know, and we'll go have dinner at my favorite Mexican food restaurant spot, and I'll show you around downtown, and then I'll then I'll drop on them like the one of the best views of the city, which is at the roof of the building, and no abstractions of the view. You can just see a Monte Diablo in the distance, and then I'm able to put my stink on them of why I love Stockton so much. And look,
that's how he gets them. He
that's
fills them up
that's
with
how I reel them in.
Puts them in a real romantic, beautiful position, and then pitches Stockton. Yeah. Gotcha.
That's what I do. Yeah. I've been doing that for years.
You know, and it worked, and baby. Yeah.
It's currently working, you know? And it's one of my favorite things to do, especially for folks who are new to Stockton or they're boomerangs, you know, and they want to see Stockton how I see Stockton. So that's
cool.
Social Micos, family owned and operated. Yes, in downtown Stockton.
Awesome.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you, Maddie. This was a lot. At one point, I was like, am I going to cry right now? I was feeling a
do it.
Little,
this is a safe space.
I know. I was getting a little emotional. But it's true. And everything you say is true. And we hope all of you listening can hold it as truth and just get out and experience your city and be part of the community and it's got to start with you. And like Maddie said, once it starts with you, us, it turns into the city and it just keeps feeding out there. So come be part of Stockton's human race, man, because it's important. So thank you, Maddie, for reminding us of that. And please go out and support Huddle if you're working from home and you're looking for a network of Stocktonians to hang out with and be friends with. Like, that's a great place to start. I also loved you talking about the people who are choosing Stockton. That is so cool. I'm feeling very inspired. I could go on and on and on. So anyways,
yay.
I should quit while I'm at it.
My work is done.
Thank you. Yes. Didn't even have to take me to a rooftop. Yeah, you got me. Yeah.
We can still do that, though. We can still do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Take me on an adventure. All right. Well, thank you, Matt. We appreciate you and what you're doing for this city.
This was awesome. It's an honor. Thank you so much, you guys.
And that was our time for today. So for all of you who are dying to hear about all of our events this week, be sure to check out all the events on the city's largest events calendar at visitstockton.org. And when you're there, you can sign up for our weekly events newsletter.
And we want to thank our guest today, Maddie Amon. And if you didn't get his vibe and his passion for our city through our conversation today, maybe you were listening to another podcast.
Yeah, clean your ears.
Yeah, right. But we want to thank Maddie for joining us today and for everything he's doing for downtown Stockton and small businesses and entrepreneurship. And again, just his passion. And we still got to get him to do some Polynesian dancing for us, but that'll be another episode.
Awesome. And then so for supporting images and insights, be sure to follow at This Is Stockton Podcast on Instagram and check out thisisstockton.com to subscribe and share. To stay up to date with everything going on in Stockton, follow at Visit Stockton on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, and YouTube. We'll talk next time. Thanks. Thanks for listening to This Is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hosted by Wes Ray, Amy Alpers, and Anthony Esteves with Visit Stockton, and produced by Relic.